We're still in Romans, of course, in the 5th chapter, verse 12. Looking at verse 12, we break it down in 4 sections. A very important part of the Scriptures. Of course, all Scriptures are important, but if we're to understand the total depravity of man, this certainly breaks it down to where we can understand that we all come from Adam, that sin entered into the world through Adam, and because we're descendants of Adam, sin was passed on to us. Very important fundamental doctrine to understand that. That means there's no good in us at all. Some would have you believe there's a little goodness in us, and if we just work with it a little bit, fan it the right way, spark it up, they'll hear the gospel and then they'll get saved, but that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that we all deserve to go to hell, and if God hadn't elected us before the foundation of the world and in time born us again, that's exactly where we'd go. We deserve a bit of it. So we are learning through these teachings the depth of that depravity, and it's just reiterated over and over again that there's none that escape that. We all are descendants of Adam and Eve. If we come up with someone else we descended from that's not Adam and Eve, then we're wrong. That's just all there is to it, according to the Word of God. So the Word of God's clear on this, and we need to have it clear in our hearts and minds that we might understand why we were saved in the first place, why it was needful. We were sinners in danger of going to hell for all eternity. God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die, and all those that believe upon His name will be saved, and we thank God for His mercy and grace in that. So this is Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12, and that's all we'll deal with the second part of this today. I'll reread it. Therefore, just as though through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Now there's 4 parts there that we break down last week, or week before last. We talked about sin entered into the world through one man, and that was Adam. We went into detail about that. Today we'll see the second part of that scripture. Death entered the world through sin, as the scriptures say in verse 12b, and death through sin. So there was a consequence of that death. When death entered, sin entered into the world also. And that's something that has to be reconciled if we're going to be saved. Someone has to pay for our sins. And the only one that did that was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we trust and pray before this life is over that that's made known to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God working in our lives, through hearing the gospel and understanding He's our only hope. The only hope we have is in Jesus Christ, and there is none other. So as good as others may sound, it's not a hope that we have. It's just Jesus Christ. So it says the second element of Paul's argument is that because sin entered the world through one man, so also death, the consequence of sin, entered the world through that one man's sin. So people wonder why there's death in the world. It's because of sin. Death is a consequence of sin. This sounds simple, and it is in the way that we're saying it, but we needed to understand that concept that we might understand the scriptures more clearly. God did not create Adam as a mortal being, that is, as subject to death, but He explicitly warned Adam that disobedience by eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil would make him subject to death. He told him, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said in no uncertain terms. And contrary to Satan's lie in 3:4, where he said, God didn't say you'd die. That's what he said. He told a lie, and he's the lie, and he's the father of it. And he deceives Eve, and we know the rest of the story from the last time. And when she partook of the fruit, and gave it to Adam, and he partook of the fruit, both their eyes were open, and they died spiritually in that sense, but it also put in motion their death, their natural physical death. Although they lived to be hundreds of years old then, as we get further away, the life gets a little shorter. So he said, contrary to Satan's lie, that was indeed the fate that Adam suffered for his disobedience. And because Adam suffered for that disobedience, and we being in him, we also suffer that disobedience. We have a fallen nature. Put it that the way Adam was created, said he was created able to stand but liable to fall. And that's probably about as good a description as you can describe him, because he did stand for a certain period of time. It doesn't tell us how long, but there was a time that he walked with God. He named the animals. He walked naked. He wasn't ashamed of that. That's just the way God had him in the earth. And several things went on before indeed they transgressed. After they transgressed, they recognized that they were naked. And God said, who told you you're naked? You know, what? And they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And that's man trying to cover himself even today with his own self-righteousness. And wasn't enough. Lost fellowship with God then. But there's a beautiful type of Christ in that. And some, you know, say that Adam wasn't saved. I don't believe that. I believe that there's a type and shadow where God had mercy on them. And he said he did a certain thing. He made them animal skins to cover them, to cover their nakedness. Well, in order to make those animal skins, those animals had to shed their blood. And that's a type and shadow, to me, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that covering being the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, Adam suffered that disobedience. We suffer it also today, and our generations, for as long as God will allow the world to continue, will still have the same problem we had, that we need to be saved. We need to be saved from our sin. He said even before human sin existed, God had ordained that its wages would be death. Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Just a note on that. You don't have to turn there, but I had a note where MacArthur made a statement that was very good about that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says this verse describes two unyielding absolutes. The first one is spiritual death is the paycheck for every man's slavery to sin. In other words, we'll pay for our sins one way or the other. Our sins are going to be paid for. Either we pay for them and go to hell for all eternity, or Jesus Christ pays for them and we go to heaven for all eternity. So there's a price that has to be paid. And the second thing, eternal life is a free gift God gives undeserving sinners who believe in his Son. None of us deserve to be saved, yet God in his infinite mercy and grace chose a people, great in multitude, that would be saved, that would come to saving faith, believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior of their life. And that's the gift that God's speaking of, that Paul's speaking of in verse 23 there. The gift of God is eternal life. Where is it? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we're ever talking about eternal life, being saved, our sins, it's not going to be long before the name of Jesus Christ is going to pop up. Thank God. That's the way that is. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, God says. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Again, God reiterating this through Ezekiel, his prophet. Understanding in all the sections of the scripture, there's not but one end for sin, and that's death. And then there's three types of death we'll talk about here in just a minute. Death is the unfailing fruit of the poison that entered Adam's heart and the heart of every one of his descendants. So it's not so much a will problem as it is a heart problem. See, we have a heart problem. We have a, what's the brother that said it's a bad record and a bad heart? Can't think of his name. Good article. But anyway, he goes in depth about that, and that's what our problem is. That our problem, we have too, a bad record, our heritage from Adam, and we have a bad heart. That's it. Martin, you know. Excellent reading on that. He said, death is the unfailing fruit of the poison that entered into Adam's heart and the heart of every one of his descendants. Even tiny babies can die, not because they have committed sins, but because they have a sin nature, the ultimate consequence of which is death. A person does not become a sinner by committing sins, but rather commit sins because he is by nature a sinner. And there's a statement that's so true, and a lot of people get that mixed up. A person does not become a sinner by committing sins, but rather commit sins because that's what he is. He's a sinner by nature. And that nature has to be changed. If we're going to be saved, if we're going to escape our just condemnation and the wrath of God, Jesus must save us. The only one that can do it. So the person does not become a liar when he tells a lie. He tells a lie because his heart is already deceitful. A person does not become a murderer when he kills someone. He kills because his heart is already murderous. It's already in him. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart, Jesus said, come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. That's where it all comes from. Wants us to understand our problem is our heart needs to be remedied. Sin brings several kinds of death to men. There's three different kinds. Death is separation, and God's first death was spiritual separation from God, which Adam experienced immediately after his disobedience. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, Paul remarked to the Ephesian believers, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's in Ephesians in the second chapter. And MacArthur says this about that being dead in sins, a sobering reminder of the total sinfulness and lostness from which believers have been redeemed. In indicates the realm or sphere in which unregenerate sinners exist. They are not dead because of sinful acts that they have committed, but because of their sinful nature. Matthew 12:35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. That evil man is one that's still in his sins. The one that's a good man is one that's been saved by the grace of God, because there's no good in man. So we realize that if it's talking about a good man in the sense of righteousness, God has come and arrested his heart, especially if it talks about a good treasure coming out of a heart that's been changed. Can't do it unless it's been changed. That's the lot of mankind. The unsaved are darkened, it says in Ephesians 4:18. They're darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. There again, MacArthur has something to say about that, alienated from the life of God. Many expressions in the Word of God talks about total depravity. You'll never see the words total depravity, but they all indicate total depravity. Or another way that we might clearly understand it is our total inability. That's what our problem is. We have an inability to come to God. We don't want to come in the first place in our sins, because when we're in our sins, we hate God. We have a mind that's enmity against God. It's hatred against God. We don't seek after the things of God. We're not going to submit to His Word. Matter of fact, when we're in our sins, some of us get very irate if somebody's got a Bible and putting it in front of our face because we don't want to hear it because God's not dealt in our lives yet. We're dead in sin, and so we hate the very thing that we need, and that's the problem. And if God doesn't save us, we're not going to be saved. And so that's why we believe that it's by the sovereign grace of God, and that's why we emphasize this total inability or total depravity of man. Listen again to that verse of Scripture. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. What does that mean? That means that you don't have any part with God. You know, the life that God has, you're alienated from that because of what? Your sins. Because of your very nature. You're nothing like Him when you're dead in sin. And then it goes on to say, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. There's that heart again. It has to be changed. And so we see that. Again, MacArthur says, unbelievers are spiritually separated from God, thus ignorant of God's Word, and their willing spiritual darkness and moral blindness is the result. They are blind or hard like a rock. And that amply describes it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 is a scripture we know and understand. I trust we understand it. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He has a dead spirit that can't discern it. But when God arrests his heart, when we're born again, then we can have spiritual understanding. But not until that time. We don't just up and decide one day that's what we're going to do. If we up and decide we're going to do that one day, it's because God's opened that heart. And because he's broke our heart and he's made us realize that we're sinners, and we begin now to identify with the very things that we used to do. We see the penalty. We feel the weight of that. We feel the hopelessness of our being able to be saved, because we realize that our righteousness is filthy, that it's nothing that will stand up before God. As a matter of fact, if we try in our righteousness to satisfy His justice and His laws, that all it does is stir up the wrath of God. That's an affront to God when we think that we can be saved apart from the sacrifice that He sent. And that's His Lord, that's His Son, is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we find Him offended and His wrath abiding upon us until that time we can come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's every one of our lots. We were that way before we were born again. If we haven't been born again, that's your lot. That's the penalty you're under. And I and anyone else that loves you would tell you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Seek Him while He may be found, is where the Word of God puts it. The unregenerate are very much alive to the world, but they are dead to God and to the things of God. A second and obvious kind of death, we won't spend any time much on this because we understand this. A second and obvious kind of death that sin brings is physical, separation from fellow human beings. Although Adam did not immediately lose his physical life, he became subject to physical death the moment he sinned, and he died when he was 930 years old. I looked that up to make sure I had that right. And so he put into motion not only spiritual death, but his physical death. His life came to an end. We know that because we go to funerals all the time, or we hear about funerals all the time where people have died. We say they've passed or whatever expression we choose, but we know that they have died. And the reason they died ultimately was because of sin. Sin kills us. The third kind of death, much worse than just the death we're talking about there, is the kind of death that sin brings is eternal and immeasurable worst extension of the first, referred to in Scripture as the second death. Revelations 21:8 says this, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This death not only brings eternal separation from God, but also eternal torment in hell. The unbeliever has reason to fear all three deaths. He needs to fear all three deaths. He needs to understand that. Spiritual death prevents his earthly happiness. Physical death will bring an end to opportunity for salvation, and eternal death will bring everlasting punishment. So it all has its consequences. But no kind of death should be feared by believers. The good news that we have is that if we've been saved by the grace of God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him and His sacrifice. They are saved permanently by Christ from spiritual and eternal death, and their physical death will usher them into His divine presence. For believers, Christ has removed the fear of death. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, for as much then as the children, that is all of God's children, are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we've been delivered from all three of those deaths through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking this morning and reminded of a hymn that we sing from time to time called Saved, Saved. And it says, I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on His mighty arm. I know He'll guide me all the way. When poor and needy and all alone, in love He said to me, come unto me and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Saved by His power divine, saved to a new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. By the blood of Jesus Christ, God in His mercy and in His grace has provided for us a salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God help you to understand that is my prayer for Christ's sake.